May the Lord help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 731. 731. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Hymn 731.
Sacred and holy word of God, we shall turn to read two passages in Holy Scripture. First of all, Job chapter 23, and then a part of Isaiah 42. The book of Job, chapter 23. 3. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth a thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither covered the darkness from my face." We now go to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 42. We shall read the first 16 verses. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. The bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to them that unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities that lifted up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, he shall stir up jealousy like a man of war, he shall cry, yea roar, he shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time hold of my peace, I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I'll dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Thus far we read in God's holy word. May he bless it to our souls and teach us to pray. Almighty and most gracious Lord God, as thou hast given us the privilege of another Lord's Day, another Sabbath, a day wherein we are thankful for that opportunity of gathering in thy house with thy people around thy word. And now, Lord, do thou come, could it please thee, and sanctify this privilege that we have, that it may be for the good of our never-dying souls, and the honour and glory of thy beloved and precious name. We do not gather in our own name, Lord. We gather in thy name, in thy house, on thy day, and pray that thou would have all the honour and all the glory as we gather, that we might at the close of the day may be able to say, surely the Lord is in this place. And yet, Lord, we are not worthy of thy notice. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Thou art that one of whom is said concerning where thou dost dwell, nothing that defileth can enter therein. Thus, Lord, there is a great need, if we are to come before thee aright, that we have that proper preparation suitable for thy presence. We need a perfect, complete obedience. We need a full and complete atonement. We need one to provide these great things for us, for we cannot provide them ourselves. All that we think or say or do is mingled with sin while we're yet in this earth, in our bodies. Our flesh, Lord, is a great hindrance, thou knowest. We do pray that the precious blood of Christ, that cleanseth from all sin, may cleanse our hearts, our souls, our minds, our thoughts, our words, our ways this day, that we may know what it is to be made nigh, brought near by the blood of the cross, so that the obedience of that one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and his precious blood may answer for us. As one said, answer for me, my Lord. Oh, what a privilege if there is one in heaven this very hour answering for us, taking our cause and case in his dear willing hands and presenting them before the Father. And Lord, if that be so, then we can no denial take while we plead for Jesus' sake. Be blessed to us then the means of thy grace, the holy, inerrant, infallible word of God, the praise of thy beloved name, and hear the prayers of that opening hymn, Lord. Oh, what necessary things were asked for by the good hymn writer. Lord, in our meditation do thou draw near, as thou didst on the road to Emmaus, when thou didst open their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. What a sermon it must have been, and what fellowship must have been enjoyed as their heart burned within them while he talked with them by the way. There are many here to this morning hour who would long to have such a talk, such a conversation with thee concerning the path they're in and their needs in providence and more especially in grace. Oh, once they have a little talk with Jesus, how it cheers life's rugged road. Oh, may that be so today, we beg, And do bless then this gathering, from the youngest to the oldest. Bless those who hold office here. They may be helped to handle matters wisely and thus find good. May the church and congregation grow in grace to the knowledge of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And do, Lord, in thy tender mercy, breathe upon the dead in sin and cause them to live. And do enliven the living with renewing grace, for no man can keep alive his own soul. And do bless those, Lord, who've come with special burdens into thy courts this Sabbath morning. There are the bereaved among us, and we commit them into thy gracious hand in those sad events that have overtaken those near and dear to them. And we do pray there for help given to those who mourn at this time. We pray, Lord, for one in hospital, our dear friend David, and do continue in thy mercy to lay thy healing hand, recovering hand upon him, restore him to his home, and if it could please thee, to this house of prayer in due season, as a monument of thy sparing mercy. Be with him this Sabbath day, we pray. Any other lawfully detained from thy courts, we bear them before thee, and pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ may be with all who love thee in sincerity and in truth. We pray thy blessing for our own people gathering this Sabbath morning for a reading service, and bless thy servant in the evening hour. O Lord, in thy mercy, wherever thy name is recorded, and wherever thy people are gathering, come, blessed Spirit, do come and breathe upon thy church those dry bones, that they may live, that there may be that living water springing up unto everlasting life, that the wind of the Spirit may blow. Lord, it is blowing naturally in the elements this morning, but oh, we do pray that the wind of the Holy Ghost, the blows where he lists, where it pleases, it may please him to blow upon the churches we love, and especially our gathering here this day. Do bless those who are away from home. Watch over them, bless them, keep them. Be with the dear children, young people. Be with us in the Sabbath school this afternoon, and may the seed sown in due season bear fruit to the honour of thy dear name. Bless those who labour in the Sabbath school week by week. May they not labour in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. We pray for those who have the burdens in family and church and business and daily life, and perhaps have found it hard to leave behind out of the chapel door their burdens, but brought them inside the house of prayer, and hoping that there might be something to give them divine help and direction and upholding at such a time as this. And as those of us, Lord, in the evening time of life, the shadows of life have lengthened upon us, we think, Lord, of the many years now we've stood in this pulpit, and the generation then has gone. Now we are the older generation, the shadows of life lengthening, and the solemn realization the journey of life is coming toward its close. Oh, Lord, what a needs be there is for divine preparation, whatever our age. Also teach us to number our days, that may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, may we not presume on our days. Thou hast numbered them. May we redeem the time, for the days are evil. Follow with thy blessing the labour of thy dear servant yesterday. Bless him where he is today. And bless all who stand in thy holy name at home and abroad. We pray for our nation. We are troubled. We're trembling, Lord, for our nation. For those in authority, and Lord, thou hast permitted it to be so, who have no love for thy word, or thy people, or thy law, and are determined to put on the statute book those laws that are totally contrary to the mind of the Spirit concerning how man should live. O Lord, our only weapon is prayer, and we would plead with thee to so overrule and overturn those iniquitous designs, that we may know there is a God in heaven, one who answers the prayers of his remnant, who sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. So, Lord, we pray in high places, our royal house and our government, there may be one and another who will stand up for what is right, fearlessly, courageously, and oh, it might yet be seen that thou wilt turn this nation back again to the God of its mercies. Remember thy scattered people throughout this world, especially those caught up in the wars in Ukraine and Russia, and in Israel and Gaza and Sudan and other places where violence is so endemic. Oh Lord, what terrible days we live in, how busy Satan is. We do pray for thy dear people, who may be even now under the yoke, feeling the bondage of it. Oh, do arise for their help, and could it please to bring an honourable peace among the nations. We pray that hasten the day when thine ancient people will recognise the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the very Messiah for whom they are professing to be waiting. And what a mercy, Lord, that thou would open our blind eyes, that we may say, as dear Peter did, we believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet the gates of hell, Lord, do come against it. They cannot prevail, but they do come against it. And some of thy dear people, Lord, find, many of thy dear people find, the devil is not asleep. He's not inactive. Oh, that that word may be fulfilled in us. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. No, Lord, we would not multiply words to lengthen out a prayer. Oh, thou knowest our need. We are poor. We are needy. Without thee we can do nothing. Nothing but thy blood, O Jesus, can relieve us from our smart. Nothing else from guilt relieve us. Nothing else can melt the heart. Law and terrors do but harden, all the while they work alone. But a sense of blood bought pardon, this dissolves the heart of stone. Oh, blessed Jesus, dissolve some stony hearts this Sabbath morning. In the pulpit and in the pew we beg. And then we'll bless God for the place, the hour, and the word. We ask all for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 773. If unbelief's that sin accursed, abhorred by God above, because of all opposers worst, it fights against his love. Hymn 773.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention. Now direct your thoughts this Sabbath morning to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 50 and the 10th verse. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There are some scriptures that are, we may say, universally relevant, such as, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We see those things done in the body according to whether they be good or bad. Many other scriptures which are universal in their application. They affect every one of us here this Sabbath morning. But then there are some verses which are particular to a particular case. And if you are a child of God in the way leading to life everlasting, you will have a particular case. It may be a peculiar one, so different to everybody else as you wonder whether any other child of God had ever been where you are. You might be surprised how many, if you question them, do understand exactly what you're in and where you are. Now, the text in before us this morning has to do with one in the dark. Now, there are three darknesses the Word of God speaks of. Only one of them is relevant to the text this morning. First of all, of course, there is the darkness of unregeneracy. The darkness that you and I were born in. The blindness and the deadness and the deafness and the darkness of the fall that consumed us. We came forth from the womb speaking lies, and the fruit of the fall has been seen in our lives ever since, in thought and word and in deed. And you're yet in the dark, dear friends, if you don't know it, or if you're content that it should be so. You're just so used to being in the dark, you do not want the light that shines on the sacred page. All of us were born in that darkness. Now our text, I say it kindly, is not speaking directly to such, though there is a word, and the word is this, that those who are in such a dark place, or that they might be brought to understand how perilous it is to live and die in such darkness, but to live and die unregenerate, without the new birth, is to die and sink into the bottomless abyss. And friend, that's a very dark place. It's a very dark place. No gospel is ever preached there. No sinner is ever delivered there. No mercy ever brightens the darkness of it. Friend, there is such a place. And you and I need to lay it to heart, lest we are unwittingly travelling, hastening, rushing along the broad road that leadeth to destruction. But the one in our text is not unregenerate. How do you know? He fears the Lord. And those who fear the Lord are not left in the darkness in which they were born. What is it to fear the Lord, you may say? Well, the Word of God has several descriptions of it. It's a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. It is a spring of water rising up, newly given by the Holy Ghost. So there's a new nature, a new heart, a new spirit. And in that fear of the Lord that is now created by that blessed work of the Spirit, sovereignly given, this precious virtue, fear, not a slavish fear, not a dread, as it were, as the Apostle Paul said in one place, it was not just the fear of hell that will save a sinner. No, dear friends, the fear of the Lord has two aspects to it. On the one hand, it is reverence. And you can be sure, dear friends, any worship that lacks reverence is not of the fear of the Lord. God is greatly to be feared and to be had in reverence of all those that are about him. If the angels and archangels and cherubims and seraphims bow their face before him this Sabbath morning, how much more should we, poor worms of the earth, humble ourselves at his dear feet? Oh, says Job, I abhor myself, I repent, I'm vile. He had every reason to feel so because he was in the presence of this holy, holy, holy God. But on the other hand, the fear of the Lord has in it love. It's an unctuous light to all that's right. It's a bar to all that's wrong, but there's love in it. And the soul that's blessed with it longs to be right with God, longs for reconciliation, longs to hear his voice. And that's the trouble this one is in. He's in the dark. He's not hearing the voice he would like to. He's not feeling the presence he would like to. He feels somehow far off. And it's a grief to him. It's a burden to him. And he takes David's prayer in his mind, in his heart, and on his lip. Be not silent to me. Let it there be silent to me. I become like those that go down into the pit. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still. Above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak. Do make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Did anyone come to Swearvesey Chapel this Sabbath morning, and that was their burden? Lord, do speak. Be not silent to me. Let the word be a word of God to me. Well, may the Lord bless you. The fear of the Lord, then, is the first thing this man or woman in our text is blessed with, no longer unregenerate. Secondly, he's obedient. Now you see, we read another place, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And even a child of God once blessed with the Spirit, left to a backsliding condition, can come into a darkness that can be felt. Is there one here tonight that said the Sabbath morning in that state? You daren't deny there was a time when you felt the work of grace began. What a time of love ensued in God's time. And you felt you'd always be at his feet and always be in communion and always be in fellowship. But where are you now? Those idols have once again taken your heart and your affections. The world has been more to you than the things of God, and your prayers have become lifeless, and your fellowship cold. Why is it? You're disobedient. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. A dry land. And the one in our text is obedient. He's walking in obedience. We'll speak of that in a moment. And friends, if there's one here, and I just draw a bow at a venture. If this is your darkness this Sabbath morning, you're fighting against what you know the will of God is. It's been spoken clearly in your heart. You've had it confirmed even from the pulpit or in personal application. But still your natural man says no. And your old nature fights. Friend, may God bring you to that blessed place. Thy will be done. And when you are brought there by grace and the love of Christ and the blood of Christ, then you will be as submissive as the clay is in the hands of the potter. And you will say, not my will, but thine be done. And what is more, light will once more flood into your heart, the light of the lifting up of his countenance that's so long been hidden because of your backsliding ways. For I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. But you see, the one in our text is not walking in disobedience. Still in the dark, though. Still in the dark. He fears God. He's been obedient to him. And though he has many things to confess and much to mourn over, yet he's seeking by God's grace to walk in the fear of the Lord. And the devil says, if you're walking in the fear of the Lord, why are you in the dark? Why are things as they are? Why do you feel so far off? Why are your prayers not being answered? Why is that promise God given you not being fulfilled? Why, oh why, and all these ifs and buts and hows and whys and wherefores that spring from hell's gate to cloud your poor mind. And the devil says you've missed the way altogether. You're altogether out of the secret. You've been mistaken altogether. What does the Lord say to you this Sabbath morning? Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, hath no light? What does he to do? Give up? Go back? Despair? No. Stay. Stand. Sit. Whichever the Holy Ghost may direct you this morning, let him lean, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There is one at hand, right at hand. We sometimes sing of him, don't we? When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. Even when you cannot discern him, when you cannot feel his presence, he's always there, everywhere present, and knows your case inside out far, far better than you do. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. But I want now to speak for a moment about his servant, because we read here he's obeying the voice of his servant. Who is this servant that his voice is so precious to him, that actually brought him out of darkness into light and caused him to walk in God's ways a little? Who is this servant? Well, we read of him in chapter 42, didn't we? This is God the Father speaking. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Who is it then? It is the eternal Son of the eternal Father in our nature. Verily God, verily man. It is God's dear Son, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the servant of his Father. And he's also King of kings and Lord of lords. And has an authority over his dear people. He is their Lord. And do you remember what he said while he was here below? Why call ye me Lord, if you do not those things that I command you? But I want to meditate for a moment in a blessed thought as well. The service he gave both to his dear Father and to his church. What service did he give to his dear Father? I delight to do thy will, O my God. Now you young ones will know, sometimes your parents will ask you to do a thing which you know you ought to. You may even do it, but with a grudge and a drudge and a mournful face, and perhaps make them do about it. That's not real obedience, you know. The obedience of the dear Son of God was from the bottom of his heart. Every command his dear Father gave him, he delighted in. He loved to do it. It was his whole life to do it. Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Oh, what a life he lived. And dear friends, I just ask you for a moment to just trace your thoughts back to last Sabbath, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and today, whose business have you been doing? You ask yourself, who have you been serving? You say, well, I've been to school. Yes, I hope you've behaved yourself there, you young ones. You say, I've been to work. I hope you've worked diligently as well. But dear friends, to whom have you been working? Is it just to earn money? Or just to do as you were told? Or was it unto God? Was it unto God? You say, does it really matter how I work and how I speak? Of course it does. Friends, too often we've served self. We've served the world. And even worse, we've served Satan himself. Oh, what wretches we are. What disobedient creatures we are. But the dear Saviour served his heavenly Father from his heart. From the very beginning of his time here below to his last gasping breath. My servant. He said twice, thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased. Why? He was doing his Father's service so obediently, so lovingly, so capably, so willingly, so effectively. Blessed be God for this servant. But what was his Father working through him? Well, dear friends, there, because of our fallen state, we cannot render the obedience that God requires. God is right to require it, but because of our fallen state, we cannot give the obedience that God demands. And so, two things are needed if we are to be right with God. On the one hand, we need an obedience to cover us, not of our own. We need a righteousness that we cannot produce ourselves. Blessed be God, this was the business God's dear servant with a capital S was about. To provide a complete, perfect righteousness to cover poor sinners who've been awakened to their solemn state, who are crying out for mercy. This is the Lord, our righteousness, says Jeremiah. It's the only righteousness God will ever approve of, and a vital one too. The second thing the dear Saviour came to do for his people was this, to pay the debt of their sins. You must never forget, dear friends, that the justice of God is very different to man's. Man adapts his justice to man's fallen state and alters laws to make it more easy, as it were, to live with sin. And so things get worse and worse, and they're going to get much worse yet. But you see, God's justice isn't like that. God's justice is rightly inflexible in this respect. It cannot compromise on sin. And it cannot look on sin with any degree of allowance. Sin must be dealt with. And your sins and my sins must be dealt with. And they will be dealt with. And yet, for God's dear people at Golgotha, Calvary, they've already been dealt with. In one sense, that was the judgment day for the Church of Christ. There all the sins of the election of grace were laid, imputed upon the dear Lamb of God. And as he hung on that cross, he bore them for the sake of his people, bearing the punishment due to them, draining the cup of wrath. There's not one drop of wrath left in the cup now for God's people to drink. No, and payment God cannot twice demand, once at my bleeding shortest hand and then again at mine. Oh, blessed servant of God who's wrought this. And when he cried, it is finished. Oh, his work was done. The righteousness was complete. The payment had been done. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that poor sinner here this Sabbath morning, walking in the darkness I've been describing, you daren't say you've not known God's fear in your heart, and you have humbly tried by his grace alone to walk in his ways. Here you are in some corner so dark you know not where it will end. Remember, this blessed Jesus knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where his people get to. And he sends a message to this poor, bedarkened, benighted soul this Sabbath morning who feels the darkness. That's the mark of life. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, hath no light? Let him trust. You've still got a God, child of God. Let him rely. That's that, the word stay. Let him stay upon his God. My servant, whom I uphold. And now this servant is speaking. And he's speaking to those who would serve him by grace, who've been plucked as brands from the burning, who've been shown the awfulness of serving Satan and sin and the world and the flesh, and a desire to be brought out from that false service, a desire to be found in the footsteps of the flock that lead to life everlasting. Here is a word for them. They're walking in darkness. There are three things about this darkness that they're walking in which should never be forgotten. One, because they are alive unto God, it's a darkness that can be felt. A darkness that can be felt. If you weren't alive unto God this Sabbath morning, you wouldn't be alert to the dark. You wouldn't be alive to this awful place you feel to be in. But the very life of God in your soul has shown you that you are in a dark place and you long for the light. So though it would not build anyone up on a negative evidence, God forbid that. But nonetheless, it is a mark of life. It's a mark of grace. If you are longing for the light, you know, I think one of the best hymns in the book is 726, you know. It ends like this. Visit then this soul of mine. Pierce the gloom of sin and grief. Fill me radiance divine. Scatter all mine unbelief. More and more thyself display. Shining to the perfect day. So it's a darkness that can be felt. That's the first thing. Second, a darkness in this sense. There is much examination in it. Why it should be. For though you humbly hope the Lord began the work, and you humbly hope you're in the path he's put you in, that you realise that when all is said and done, there's been so much sin mingled with your thoughts and words and ways, that you're not surprised in one sense at the darkness you feel. You're like the poor publican beating upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. So there is, in a sense, you submit yourself in one sense. Lord, I don't deserve the light. I don't deserve deliverance. I cannot come and say I've been so upright, so sincere, so humble, so patient, that thou art bound to give me what I desire. No, Lord. Only mercy. Only mercy will deliver me. Is that where you are this morning? Friends, I can say this. I've never yet been in a trouble that I deserve to be delivered from. Have you? Can you honestly say before God, well, I deserve to be delivered. All the wrongs on the other side. When all is said and done, I've been such an obedient child of God. Surely I deserve deliverance. I can't say that. I daren't say that. And David daren't say it either. Psalm 71. Deliver me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. I've got none, Lord. If I come out of this dark place, thou must bring me out for the honour and glory. Be sheer mercy that does it. Sheer grace that will do it. Do you understand where I am this Sabbath morning then, dear friend, in this text? A darkness that can be felt, but oh, a darkness that brings to light in a sense. Many things we never thought of before. We go back to our earliest days and sins we'd long forgotten and long swept under the carpet and thought would never be remembered again. God brings to our remembrance. And we have to say, Lord, I'm vile. I'm a wretched, undone sinner by nature. And I don't deserve the light I long for. Now the third thing about this darkness. You can't be satisfied to be in the dark, can you? Oh no, though it's felt, though you have to confess your poverty in it, nonetheless, you dare, as it were, say, Lord, I'm happy to stay in this state. No, you want light. You want life. You want liberty. You want love. You want Christ. Hymn 737 is your desire this Sabbath morning. Give me Christ, or else I die, Lord. Oh, do come. It's a lovely word, isn't it, in Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. Sometimes the heavens seem so dark, don't they? Everything seems so black. What's needed? Rend the heavens, Lord, and come down and visit my poor soul. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, the next thing we notice is this, dear friends. However dark you may feel to be this Sabbath morning, that darkness is not a darkness that is true of the Lord. With him, the night and the day are the same. The darkness and the light are no different to him. They are to us, but not to him. And that is a very comforting thought, because if you can look back to some precious days of deliverance and answers to prayer, he's the same God today as then. Did Jesus once upon you shine, then Jesus is forever thine. He hasn't changed, though you have. He's not altered in his purpose, though, yes, your poor fickle heart gets tossed about from this way and the other. That I know. But my dear friends, he hasn't changed. In darkness or distress, his love's the same to thee. Without declension, more or less, immutable and free. Oh, bless God for the unchangeability of our God. He is what we call immutable. Now, do you know what that word means? It means it cannot change. There are some things that go on for a long while. They don't change. Doesn't mean they cannot change. Something comes and they do. Your health may go on year after year with good health. Friends, it's not immutable, I'll tell you. The day will come when it'll begin to fail. It'll begin to weaken. Asaph said, my heart and my flesh faileth. Mutable, changeable. But, listen, God, this unchangeable, immutable, unchangeable God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This is what our text is saying this morning. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Why the name of the Lord? Well, there are many reasons for that. Let's hear what Solomon says about it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Why is the coming, fleeing, longing, hoping sinner safe in that tower of the name of the Lord? Because, dear friend, there's one thing God is jealous of, it's his name. He will not allow it to be denied, defiled. Though men do deny it and do defile it, friends, God himself changes not. And he's very jealous of his name. Remember, this is a very solemn thought, isn't it? When David backslid the matter of Bathsheba, Nathan went to him and he said, you have caused the name of God to be blasphemed by your behaviour, by your backsliding, David. The dear man humbled himself under it. He became a penitent sinner. But friends, think his action had caused the name of God to be blasphemed. Could God be silent about that? Even though Dave was a child of God? No. God is a just God. And just his judgments fit his rod to correct our folly. And that may be why you're in the dark this Sabbath morning. There's the chastening hand of God upon you. He is reminding you of past sins. He's bringing to light that the way you behaved has brought dishonour on his name. And thus, you need him to come with that reconciling blood, that precious gospel that reaches sinners in the dark. The name of the Lord is his character, isn't it? The Lord, our righteousness. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, this is a blessed name to trust in. You say, but this is my great point. You've been singing over that precious hymn just now. That wretched unbelief. Oh, when will it be gone? I would believe, Lord, but help thou mine unbelief. And that's your darkness this morning, perhaps. You want to love the Lord and believe without a doubt. Well, there are some precious moments where God's children are favoured like that, but not all the while. I remember when I trust the Lord gave me the direction to go as pastor at Chippenham. I resigned my position as a teacher, and a house was on the market and was sold. And the devil said, what are you doing? What a fool you are, how presumptuous you are. And I was in some terrible state. I had to preach at Grove that Sabbath morning, the next Lord's Day, and I drove down from Coventry to Grove, and I was really tossed. I thought, well, if I'm doing the will of the Lord, surely these doubts and fears shouldn't be there. I should be plain sailing. But good John Tugwell, now in glory, blessed memory, a deacon at Grove, got up and he gave out that hymn. He said, if I can just quote it about, it's gone from my mind now. It's about, dream not of faith so clear that shuts all doubtings out. It put me right in a moment. The Lord said, you're not in the wrong way. Yes, unbelief will have its say. And the devil will have his say. And sinners may have their say. Even saints may have their say. But they won't undo the will of the Lord. What a mercy, friend, when God gives a living faith that outlives the unbelief that comes against it. He's a good God to such poor, vulnerable creatures as we feel to be. We're the bruised reed, aren't we? We're the smoking flax. But he doesn't break the bruised reed. Doesn't quench the smoking flax. Blessed be his holy, loving name. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. The one thing the Lord will honour is his own name. I can no denial take while I plead for Jesus' sake. But then it says, stay. That means lean upon his God. Now, godly Jeremiah, who knew much about the path we're hinting at this morning, he said, cursed be the man that maketh flesh his arm. And it's true. And those of you who fear God this Sabbath morning will know there are some times when you've made flesh your arm, either your own or somebody else's. And what's happened? It's been a sharp sword in your conscience. It didn't resolve the matter, did it? It didn't put matters right at all. It only made them worse. Leaning on the wrong arm. Oh, says godly Solomon, and he had to learn it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You say, well, aren't we to use our common sense? Well, I'll speak carefully. God has given us common sense in one sense. But I tell you this, friends, common sense does not do in the way of faith in this respect. Unsanctified common sense will lead you well astray. Very often God's ways are so contrary to what we would think. We have to be still and know that he is God, even though it goes against what our common sense might have thought ought to have been. And I've been thankful the Lord delivered me from unsanctified, note that, unsanctified common sense. May God deliver us from it, because it's a snare, terrible snare. Try and handle the things of God in a carnal way, without the wisdom from above, without the unction from above, without the precious Christ from above, you're bound to err then, dear friends. Well, may God give us the wisdom from above and wean us from all false props, whatever they may be. Yes, let him trust in the name and stay. That means lean upon his God. Now we have a picture of this, do we not, in the Song of Solomon. Who is this They're coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. The beloved is our Lord Jesus Christ. He came down into this wilderness, verily God, verily man, to bring his bride out of the fall. And he does it in an individual way when the work of grace begins. It's the Holy Spirit sent by the dear beloved to bring that sinner out of the wilderness of the fall and his wretched heart and bring him up out of it. But can she come out of it in her own strength? Can her own wisdom devise the way? No. We read of it, Isaiah 42, I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths they've not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight and rough places plain. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Now, dear friends, that's a vital thing, isn't it? We are, in a sense, but blind. The hymn writer put it very beautifully, I feel. In darkness born I went astray and wandered from the gospel way. But since my Saviour gave me sight, I cannot see without his light. That's a paradox to the unbeliever, to the world. They would laugh at it. But every living child of God here this Sabbath morning knows what I'm saying. I cannot see without his light, his wisdom, his way, his voice, his presence. That's what I need. It's what dear Moses said when he came to a dead halt, and often God's people do come to a dead halt in the way. Things come they never look for, never expected. And yes, everything rises against them. And the poor man had a great grief when the idols were reared while he was up the mountain. And the Lord said, I'll send an angel before you, Moses. It is, Lord, I don't know whom you're sending. I want more than just an angel. Now, that angel was the angel of the covenant that the Lord revealed to him eventually. But Moses said, Lord, I cannot go on without thee. If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Then he added something more, which was a very powerful plea. It was this, and consider, this nation is thy people. And sometimes God's people are given faith to go before him as that. Lord, I know I'm a wayward child. I know I'm a wandering sheep. But Lord, thou hast dealt with me as a sheep and as a child more than once. Consider it, Lord. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Take me by the hand, Lord. He led them on safe, so they feared not, we read. The sea overwhelmed their enemies. Let him stay upon his God. You may say, well, will he let such an unworthy, guilty wretch as me lean on his arm? You think of it. Think of the disparity. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. You, a poor, fallen wretch by nature, made so many mistakes. Will he let you lean on his holy arm? He says here he will. He says here he will. And that's love, isn't it? You know, when the prodigal's father went out to meet the returning son, he didn't wait before he'd washed him and clothed him with the garments that he did before he kissed him. Friends, he kissed him just as he was. A returning sinner, but all the wretchedness of what he'd been in was clinging to him. But that kiss, dear friends, overcame it all. It overcame it all. And so it does. And friends, I tell you this Sabbath morning, if the beloved would give you a kiss or me a kiss, it would overcome all the darkness, all the felt deadness, all the crooks in the lot, all the thorns in the flesh, all that comes between you and your God this Sabbath morning. That kiss would come over it all. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Oh, poor sin, isn't that what you need this morning? An embrace? Oh, tell me, Lord, and make me feel it. I am thine, forever thine. Lord, come right into my poor heart. Let it live again. Let it flourish again. Let it believe again. Let it hope again. Let it love again. Let me follow again. Let me praise again. Who am I describing this morning, I wonder? What does the Lord say? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Who is among you then? Perhaps the one felt so dark this morning, felt it impossible to even come to Swaves. You came, but you thought whatever good could come of it. Well, the Lord knows you. He knows your case. And he has his word for you this Sabbath morning. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And we have the case of Job. We read of Job, didn't we? Oh, that poor man. He didn't understand why he had lost the sheep and his oxen, his cattle, that terrible day, and his family, and then his health in another day. He wasn't cognizant of the mysterious synod that took place when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord and Satan dared to come into that convocation. What a presumptuous being Satan is. But you see, he didn't know what the Lord had said about Job touched not his life. All Job knew was he'd come into darkness. He's brought me into darkness and not into light. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, he said. I look forward, there seems no prospect. I look back, I cannot trace the evidences I'd like. I look on the left hand of providence, that seems to have gone. And as for grace, I seem to be out of the secret. Oh, Lord, where will it all end? What did he say? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Yes, I'll come forth. Faith was given in that dark moment to godly Job. And what did faith anchor on? He knoweth. He knoweth. You read in the prophecy of Jeremiah at least twice, if not three times, when the poor man was in great difficulty, greatly opposed. O Lord, thou knowest. He cast anchor there. And that's just what the Lord is bidding his dear benighted people this Sabbath morning to do. As enabled by the Spirit, cast anchor in those four words. O Lord, thou knowest. So many things we don't understand, things we can't make straight, things that perplex, even appall us. And yet, blessed be his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. He will not leave nor forsake us. O God of our salvation, from thee will we wait all the day. O Lord, thou knowest. That's enough, isn't it? So I wish I knew. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And when the hereafter comes, friend, you won't have any complaints. You'll be able to say, he brought me out of darkness into his light. And that precious moment that put everything right, that healing touch and kiss, you then say, my Jesus hath done all things well. So he has, so he is, so he will yet do. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will preach again this evening at the earlier time of 6 o'clock. And at 2:30 this afternoon, Sunday school will be addressed. Mr. Richard Wells is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 714. 714. Why so cast down, dejected soul? A loving Christ is near. Thy broken bones he can make whole, and drooping spirit cheer. Hymn 714.
Thank you.
And now, dear Lord, do cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship thus far on this thy day. Be with us through its hours, and gather us again in the evening hour around thy truth. And may the grace of our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Holy Spirit's favour, rest and abide with us each, both now and evermore. Amen.